The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We have in the studio today Deborah Maxwell, chairman of the Art in the Park for the Thumb Arts Guild. We're going to be talking about the upcoming event. Hard to believe Labor Day is almost upon us. It's not this weekend, but it's coming up fast, and Art in the Park has been a tradition for how many years now?
It's been 15 years.
15 years. My gosh, you've gone from art to being classics.
Just about. So we're very excited to have close to 45 artists this year.
And they are actually in the park.
They are in the park with their tents, and the pavilion is filled with artists as well.
So it's almost like a Renaissance fair, but just with art.
Correct. And we also have musical entertainment, and we have a kids tent, and we have a mom flower sale. So we're very excited.
Okay. How does this come about? Because no matter how much you try, things cost money.
We did a lot of fundraising this year, and we raised money through a number of different ways. In May, we had an artist second sale, which some of the art was old or maybe it had a little flaw, and we did very well with that. We also designed a new t-shirt and tote this year, and we'll be selling those at Art in the Park.
To cart away your treasures.
Absolutely. You can wear one and you can cart away your treasures. Perfect. And then we also had a huge 50-50 raffle sale at the Port Austin's Farmers Market. Which was wonderful. We get to keep half of that money, and we did very, very well. And then we have a...
What was it, artwork you were raffling
nope,
off?
Nope, just or? The raffle tickets for the farmer's market.
Oh, well, there you go.
50-50, yep. And then we do our mum flower sale both days.
And this is not mum as in mummer's day.
No.
This is mum as in the fall plants that everybody seems to like.
The beautiful flowers, absolutely.
That bloom in the fall.
Exactly. So, and then we also have a silent auction the night before on Friday at 6 o'clock at the Visitor Center.
That's at the Visitor Center. You used to, I think, have it at the old gym, but now the beautiful Visitor Center is there with the views of the lake. I just think that would enhance the art even more.
It's gorgeous. It's just gorgeous in there. And so all the most of the artists who are in Art in the Park donate a piece of work, and then the Thumb Arts Guild members also donate a piece of work, and it's auctioned off in a silent auction. And then we also do a project every year, the art members of the guild, and this year it's wooden boxes handmade by Dave Thummel, one of our artists and woodturner. So each artist takes their box and decorates it any way they want, and that will be on view at the silent auction, but they can also bid on it Saturday and Sunday up until 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon at Art in the Park.
So like if you're a photographer, you could take opage photographs onto it. If you're
Absolutely.
A jewelry maker, you can embellish it with your jewelry crafting. If you're a painter, obviously you're not going to get the spray gun out. You're going to paint it.
Correct. And there's some beautiful ones that you can see on display at the Port Austin Public Library right now.
No theme for the year, you know, it's not
just the wooden box. So each artist,
I think sometimes there's in the past may have been a theme where, you know, we're all doing
lighthouses
or roosters or something, you know.
Yes.
Something like that. But this year that you give them a little more freedom to, because the medium they're on may not work as well with all different types of artwork, so we give them a little break by letting them loose.
Yes. And there's some gorgeous ones on display.
Where are they on display? Are they going to be on display prior to the actual start of the auction?
Yes. Right now, they are at the Port Austin Public Library. Then we'll move them to the Visitor Center for the silent auction.
And when you see them at the library, don't shout or go, ooh, real loud, because the librarian will shh you.
Yes. And then we'll move them to Art in the Park. And so everybody will be able to look at them and bid on them during the art fair. And we'll conclude with that at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
So some of the things happen the Friday night before, but these carry over through the rest of the weekend. So if you bid on it at the event at the Visitor Center, somebody may outbid you three or four times before the actual 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. So you are going to have to go back to Art in the Park probably close to the end to make sure if you really want it, your bid's going to stick.
That's true. So you have that opportunity to come over and take another peek and make another bid.
How big are the boxes, by the way?
They're like a shoebox size.
Okay.
And some
so they're good for collectibles. If you put them on your dresser, you put them in the living room, you can put photos in it. It's just the right size for those kind of things. Treasures.
Absolutely, treasures. We're calling them treasure boxes.
See, I just hit it on the nose with that one. And Dave Thummel works well with wood. I mean, I don't know about anybody else in the Thumb who has as much of a following as Dave Thummel. He made these boxes for you?
He did. They're absolutely gorgeous. They're wooden boxes. Some are hinged lid, and some are a separate lift-off lid. So they're just beautiful. So make sure you get to see those at the library before Art in the Park.
And we will keep towels and tissue handy for Dave, because he's like, hey, they're beautiful wood boxes, and they put stuff over them. They can't see the wood. They can't see the wood.
They're gorgeous. They are just gorgeous. So there's some jewelry on one of them. There's pottery on another one. There's glass beadwork on another.
Well, pottery seems to be hard. You'd have to do that and then attach it, because you certainly can't put a wooden box into a kiln.
Correct.
And not have a wooden box afterwards.
Correct. So that is all planned out ahead of time.
Planned ahead of time. Okay. And what else happens at the very first event that Friday night at the Welcome Center? You get to see the art. Is there opportunities there to buy art?
Absolutely, through the silent auction.
Okay.
So there's a big variety. There's photography, there's jewelry, there's fibers, there's ceramic tiles, there's pottery, photography. Everything that you can imagine will be there.
But at that Friday night event, just one piece from the artist. If you see a style you like, then you can find them in the park and maybe find something more that suits your taste?
Absolutely.
Because that's what a lot of the artists are there for. They're there to show their skills, but also to, be a professional and get paid for their work.
Yes. If they like something and they missed out on the bid, they can check out that artist at Art in the Park and see all of their work and be happy and probably pick something up from the artist directly.
Is it difficult out in the park to display art? I mean, sometimes art needs lighting, sometimes it needs, sometimes it's just the ambiance around it. You know, if you're in a museum, painting looks a whole lot more impressive than if you saw it, just sitting at the corner at the light downtown. I mean, if you know what I mean, do they have to kind of work to make their little stations best in show?
Yes, they're all professional artists, and some of the artists use the natural light for the glass work, the blown glass. The sunlight is perfect for that. And some of the artists use lights and lighting in their tent, like say for the jewelry. They need a little bit more light to showcase what they're doing. So it all depends on their needs, and they come prepared for that.
Because nowadays, lighting isn't just a Edison bulb.
It's everything.
They're color temperatured. You can pick the right hues and warmth of the light to really show off to the best the artwork you're trying to display.
Yes. So they come prepared, and it's a very nice setting. Gallup Park in Port Austin is just beautiful. Lake Huron is right across the street. It's a small enough park to get through and see everything, but large enough to satisfy most tastes. So we're really excited. We have a new layout this year. We'll have entertainment in the afternoons. We have musical entertainment. We'll have a food tent, and we also are going to have gourmet popcorn tent this year.
And I understand the food tent, again, is through the school.
Yep.
The school has traditionally been there quite a few years, if not all of them, as, part of their efforts in the area to...
Yep. And they have a nice variety.
Terrific. I also understand you're going to have kind of hands-on stuff for the kids in a tent.
Yes, we are.
Nothing goes better when you're thinking about taking your kids out as, oh yes, let's let them play with clay and paints and sharp pointy objects. That's a holiday weekend meant to happen.
Yeah. We're very excited this year. We have a face painter and her daughter who will be doing face painting for the kids. And also we're going to be doing a hands-on sculpture. It'll be a work in progress. So we're very excited about that. And some other crafts for the kids to do.
But the whole point of the kids' tent is the next generation.
Yep.
Kind of spark their interest, what they like. Oh, this worked out well. And see if you have any, you know, little spark of natural talent there that most artists have to work their craft. They aren't just born with it. They have a desire. They may have a little skill. And they make it into something just as they do each piece.
Yeah, the kids get really excited about the kids' tent. They are very engrossed in what they do. And we have wonderful volunteers stepping up to the plate this year to help out with that sculpture and face painting and the other crafts. So we're very excited about that.
And is there a certain age group you're targeting for this? Because some kids may be too small for some of this, other kids... You know, you don't want, you know, clay fight. Boop.
Usually the elementary age group mm-hmm. is good for the face painting. But we do have junior high and high school students who stop by and check out the sculpture and kind of put their little mark on it. So we're excited about that, too.
Now, when you say sculpture, is this like a piece of marble that they take a chip off of? Or is this like clay and they're adding a piece or a layer to it?
It's a fiber art sculpture.
Fiber art? What is fiber art?
Well, it includes yarn, textiles, fabric, ribbon, anything that can be molded and weaved into a framework that we've started. So it can be very extravagant or it can be very, very simple.
And do these usually tend to be a bit more abstract?
They do.
Than you know, we're trying to make this a picture of somebody.
Yes. No, they can just come in and put their little mark on it, and it grows from there.
And what do you do with it in the end? I mean, you're going to have a piece there. I mean,
It'll go on display.
It may not be going to the Louvre, but it is, it is definitely a local art piece. And I didn't know if you displayed it at the school, if you had a shop downtown that shows these things afterwards.
Right now, we don't have permanent plans, mm-hmm. but I know it will be on display somewhere.
Very good. Watch for it.
Watch for it, exactly.
Okay. Now, I understand this year, you got a lot of new faces coming.
We do. We're so excited. We're close to 45 artists, and we have 13 new artists this year. So that's really exciting.
And by new, you mean they've never been there, or some of them are bringing things that we may not have seen much of in the past?
I mean new by artists who have not participated in Art in the Park before, or who may have taken a break for a few years mm-hmm. and are returning this year.
Terrific.
Yes. So they come from all over Michigan, Kalamazoo, the greater Detroit area. We have two artists whose summer here in Michigan but are technically from Florida.
At least for tax purposes.
So we're very excited to have that new addition to Art in the Park.
Great. And with the new people there, you're hoping that this is bringing new blood, but I understand you've got a pretty good rep for the holiday weekend, that people know this is one of the premier art shows going on at that time.
That's true. Port Austin is a beautiful town, and on Labor Day weekend, everybody comes to enjoy it. They visit the farmers market, and it's packed, and those people trickle into Art in the Park. So we're real happy with our attendance. In years past, it's gotten up to 4,000 or 5,000 people who attend over the 2-day event.
And the Saturday lead-in with everybody coming for the farmer's market in the fall doesn't hurt either.
Yep, we're really excited about the farmer's market. They've helped us immensely this year, so we're very grateful for their help.
Well, they helped you with the fundraising, with the 50-50.
They helped us with the fundraising, the 50-50 raffle. We were able to have our tag members pick a Saturday, and we were able to sell tickets, and we did very, very well.
Well, great. But if you go there, you can commission stuff.
Absolutely.
You can, if you don't even see it there, you know, if there's a photographer or someone who creates jewelry or something, you can talk with them and maybe work out a deal for something custom to meet what you were really looking for and didn't see that day.
Yes, all the artists have their own policies, but most of them will do custom work and special orders. So if you're looking for a really big piece,
in a certain color palette to match your decor. Now, there's all kinds of factors that go in when people are decorating and looking for art.
Yep, so you can talk to each individual artist what you're looking for, and they can help you out. And if they can't do that specifically, usually they can refer you to someone who could help you out.
And do the artists get it all, or is there a slight commission to keep Art in the Park going, or I don't know how that works?
The artists send in their photographs, then they go to a juror, and then they have a fee that they pay to get into the art fair.
And that's their cost for being there?
Correct.
So if they sell a $100 painting, you're not getting 10 of it?
Correct.
So you're helping the artist.
Yes.
Who hopefully isn't starving artist, but is trying to, if not make a living, at least augment their living through their art.
Yes. So we're very excited about that. And the artists do very well. They keep coming back. We always get positive feedback from them. So we're excited.
Okay. You are a potter, I understand.
I am a potter.
And we're not talking Harry Potter here.
No.
Art Among Us or something, you know, they can make it happen. No, you're a potter.
Yep.
And you do different kinds of pottery. You know, we all think of, you know, you sit at the wheel and look, I made a bowl. But you do all kinds of different types of work.
I do. I do functional work, the plates, the bowls, the mugs, cups, platters, things like that.
Is that something, though, that you really need to commission? Because, you know, if people want plates, they want eight.
And that's what they do.
If you know what I mean.
They want eight plates, eight salad bowls, eight mugs, and so they commission me to do a dinnerware set.
Because that would, you know, you just can't say, well, I'll take the orange cup and the green plate and, you know, and go around. You want it to...
But some do.
Well, I mean, but you want them in kind of the same style.
Yes.
At least, you don't want square plates and round plates and all the rest of that. You want it to look like somewhat of a set, even if it's a very colorful one.
Yes. So I do that, and I also do a lot of mugs for different businesses, like for a brewery, for coffee houses, for hospitals, things like that. So we get a commission to do those types of work, and I do that with my business partner, and we make them.
And is it basically the glaze and the artwork you put on it, or is it somewhat sculptural at times? It seems like with clay, you can do some 3D relief and other types of things that, you know, they don't mass produce.
Each one is an individual. It's not made from a mold. So with the dinnerware set, they want them all blue with a stripe of green. That's easy to produce. Other people want something very individually. They want it painted, they want a different glaze, or they might want a raku piece, and that's a total different type of firing of pottery. So we do that as well.
But you have to make sure, if you're making dinnerware, that it's safe to eat dinner off of, because some glazes are made for consumable items like cups and plates and bowls, and others are more decorative. They may have metals in them and such that make them shinier and look flashier, but you really shouldn't be eating or drinking off of them.
All the functional ware that I do is microwave, food, oven, and dishwasher safe. The raku pieces that I was speaking about, the bright, shiny, metal, iridescent looking, those are non-functional, and those you do not eat off of.
Do you put a mark on them that says don't eat off of them? I can see somebody having this in their buffet and say, oh, we'll use that for the buffet tonight, you know, we'll put cold cuts on it or something. If you know what I mean, it seems like, you know, because a layman wouldn't know.
Usually you don't make functional pieces out of raku.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you're pretty safe that way.
So you got like a sculptural type of
sculptural
piece.
Vases, wall hangings, things of that nature, where they're more decorative.
And with vases, you would probably make the inside non-metallic, so it don't kill any of the flowers or anything that you try to put into it, maybe.
True. And so that it would also hold water. To hold for the flowers inside the vase.
Well, I would think once you fire them, they'd hold water, but maybe I'm wrong in that.
With the raku process, it's a lower firing range, and if it doesn't hit temperature, it's softer, and it absorbs the water.
Did not know that. These are the things artists learn.
Sure.
And the kids start learning this when they start doing art in the park, crafty stuff in the tent there.
Yep.
That, you know, this is what you want, and this is how you get that kind of effect, and those types of things build on. Do people mentor other people in the arts? I mean, do you take like a, you know, I'm not thinking the Karate Kid here, wax on, wax off, or anything, but I mean, do you hold classes? Do you do things throughout the year that help people to learn these tips and tricks?
As individual artists, we do, and as the Thumb Arts Guild, we do have lectures, we do have demonstrations. A lot of the artists teach their own classes. You can go into their studio and learn what they're doing, what their craft is, if it's metalwork, if it's jewelry, if it's pottery. So there's all that information is at Art in the Park with the artist, because somebody will walk into a tent and say, I want to learn to do that. And the artist will hand them a postcard saying, well, here's the information about a class coming up.
And do you have to be realistic about it? You know what I mean? I can look at stuff and say, man, I'd love to do that, and know full well I never could.
It just depends. If you want to take the class and try it, who knows?
Okay. Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
True. So everything is out there and available, and it's kind of exciting that these artists do mentor other artists and other people just getting into the craft, into that art world. I know I myself, there's a lot of potters out there. They do call me. They ask for advice or different questions, and I'm always happy to do that.
Because I wouldn't know how long to fire something, how thick it needs to be, or it's going to break. You know, there are just so many, you know, and when to turn it down and cool it off. All these things you know to get the effect you want, not only to make it hard and non-permeable, but you also want it so that if you've got a crackle finish on it, it's the right type, and it's not discoloring or burning. All these types of things you have to learn, and I imagine a lot of it's trial and error.
It is, but you take a class and you get a degree and you know what you're doing, and then you can do it. But for most people, they can take a class, enjoy themselves, and keep taking the class and keep working in clay. So it works out very well for everyone.
And I think it would also help, you know, that you don't have to invest in everything you might need for that particular art, say pottery. You don't have to buy a kiln. You don't have to necessarily have a potter's wheel or something. As you're taking classes, you can find out, is this what I really like? Is this working out for me? You know, maybe start small, not the huge kiln that the person teaching the class has. Maybe start out small and then work up if you really do enjoy it. That way you're not burnt out. If one doesn't work, you can try something else.
Exactly. And most studios are filled with what is needed to do that craft and that art. And with potters, a lot of times they just start out taking a wheel class or a hand building class, keep going back for more, and then eventually start buying the equipment needed for their own studios.
Well, it also helps them learn where to buy the stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I could go to the store and maybe find some Play-Doh, but I wouldn't know where to find proper clay. I mean, there's white clay if you're glazing and you want it to be bright. There's brown clay for a lot of people that do things more Santa Fe style and that type of stuff. They want the brown clays. All of this stuff, you have to know where to buy, where to get quality stuff. And that isn't all, you know, hey, we dug this in our backyard and we're selling it.
That's true. And you learn all that. I get my clay out of Ohio. And I usually buy about 2,000 pounds at a time.
You're buying a ton at a time?
A ton at a time.
Is this why we always see the FedEx guy looking so buff?
But I have a couple of other potters in on that order with me. So we get a better price break at that, and we do it 2 or 3 times a year.
You can throw that much clay in a year?
We do. If we have a lot of classes going on, or if we have a lot of orders. 1 year, me and my business partner did over 300 mugs. Yeah. So if you figure a pound of clay per mug, there's 3 of them.
And I assume there's a little loss in the creation of it. There's
absolutely.
There's story that goes down the sides and out, and it isn't recaptured, things like that. So it's not pound for pound.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, and people get an idea. Are there any, you know, besides for the kids, are any of these people doing like demonstrations out there of how they do this? Maybe sitting down with an easel and showing them, you know, first you do the background. I'm not talking about, you know, the joy of painting with that curly haired guy from PBS, but I mean, you know, you need to do the background first and then you do the foreground, so you build it up to your eye or however it works.
Some of the artists do work on their art inside their tents and they do informal demonstrating. This year we don't have the formal demonstrators, but usually if people ask and want to know something or see something, that artist steps up to the plate and shows them or tells them. And so they do a little demo and shows them or sketches it or gives them the tip that they're looking for.
Because with a potter, you have tools and you mm-hmm. show how to make that effect happen with the tool. The painter, you need this type of brush. Photographer, you need this type of lens or filter. There's all kinds of tricks that go into it that the artists know to make it come out the way they envision.
Yes. Dave Thummel usually demonstrates, and he is the wood turner, and he is the gentleman that made our wonderful boxes. So he is under the pavilion, and he loves to talk about his craft. And it's very easy to see him enjoy his work. And he steps up to the lathe and he turns the wood and he answers all the questions. And his work is just outstanding.
I know the lathe. I remember that from high school workshop. It was the scariest thing there was. And nothing ever turned out as nice as the shop teacher's model.
So there, for sure, Dave will be demonstrating.
Okay. Art in the Park is part of Thumb Arts Guild.
Yes.
What is the Arts Guild?
It's a local group in Port Austin and surrounding areas. Anyone can become a member.
You don't have to be an artist. You just have to love art.
You just have to love art. You can support art. You can love art. You can be an artist. And we meet the second Tuesday of the month, April through November.
Some people's artistic talent is organizing.
Sure. Or it's writing. Or they're singers.
Yeah, but I mean, you need these types of people in the background, you know, to make all these other things happen.
Absolutely.
What they're artistic at may not be the glory stuff out on the lawns there, but is an art form almost in and of itself.
Yes. So we meet on Tuesdays at 7:00, the second Tuesday of each month, April through November. So if anybody would like to...
And that's at the Visitor's Center?
That's at the Visitor's Center in Port Austin.
Do you just show up?
You can just show up.
Or do you need to make a reservation?
Absolutely not.
You're going to be there.
Just come on down. We have a website, www.thumbartsguild.org. Our information is on there when we meet. And
we'll
contact information.
The different things you do, too.
Yeah.
Art in the Park and other things that you hold through the years to basically the focus is to keep the arts alive in the Thumb area.
Yes, that's what we do.
There's people working on all kinds of things, but your specific thing is keeping the arts alive so that craftsmanship and the local artisans have a place to show off their work, to grow, and to allow the community to see what you're driving by perhaps every day and never know what's going on. You know what I mean? There's mm-hmm. all kinds of artists and people who are doing these types of things, and unless they're painting their house like a Monet, you wouldn't know.
Yep. So we're excited to have a lot of different people in the Thumb Arts group. Like you say, you don't have to be an artist to enjoy art.
And are there different levels? Are there, you know, a premium one, or is there a...
You can be a member, a single member, a family membership, organization membership, or a business sponsor membership.
So there's different ways to be part of it and to keep the arts alive.
Yes, just visit our website.
Very good. Anything else we need to know about Art in the Park coming up?
It is September 3rd and 4th, Labor Day weekend.
There's no admission to get in.
No admission to get in. 10 to 5 each day.
And it's Saturday and Sunday of Labor Day weekend. Monday, everybody's heading home from Art in the Park. You give them that little bit of a break so they don't have to stay there till 5 in the evening, do the drawings for who won and all that kind of stuff, and then they got to go to work tomorrow.
Correct. So we're very excited for the weekend.
And we're crossing our fingers for this year's trifecta. Memorial Day was beautiful. 4th of July was beautiful. We're hoping Labor Day is going to be the complete trifecta. We haven't had one since horse racing had one so many years ago.
And if it rains, we're still there. So come on out. Bring your umbrella.
Gives you something to do if you can't be at the beach.
Exactly.
Thanks for being with us today. I hope you get a good turnout. I understand you get thousands there every year.
We do. We're very excited again this year.
Our guest today on the program, Deborah Maxwell, chairman of the Art in the Park. It's through the Thumb Arts Guild. It's at Gallup Park. It's on the west end of Port Austin on M25. You can't miss it. You just look to the south, and there's the whole big park as you're getting close to leaving town. They have all kinds of artists under tents in the pavilion and all of that, just ready to show their craftsmanship, the artistic work they can do. And it's free. Bring the kids. There's lots of things for the kids to do. There's musical entertainment. It's a festival.
It is.
Art in the Park, Labor Day weekend, September 3rd and the 4th. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Our guest today on the program again, Deborah Maxwell, chairman for Art in the Park this year. Coming up the top of the hour, we'll clue you in on the latest in the news.